This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk, and there's more at the website, allbook-books.com, and the Substack page, Musings from Between the Lines, Irreverently Reverent. Musing about the seasonal shift. July always seems kind of timeless, like summer's never going to end, and then August comes upon the scene and kind of lingers, and then right about this time of mid-August, the days start getting a little shorter, and there's a bit of that back-to-school frenzy beginning, and time shows its face again. I try to stay out of the fray because I notice that the fast-paced people, it's almost like the relaxed anarchism of summer vacation and summertime starts to get replaced by this mental speed zone of preparation for school and funneling back into that whole systemic linear perspective of time and seasons and educational system and all that. So yeah, good luck to all the people doing that, and I try to stay out of the fray. And one of the ways to do that for me is to stay in tune with the natural rhythms of the cycles. Like people say, how is your summer? And it's September is beginning, and the equinox is, I think, around, it's usually around the 21st. So I say it's still happening, but people have gotten so brainwashed by the system, educational system, work system, that they think the season, they think that the school system supersedes the natural cycle system. So in that light, I'm going to read some haiku. But first, I want to preface it by a quote from a book I've talked about before, Removable Type Histories of the Book in Indian Country, 1663 to 1880, Philip H. Round, because it signals, I don't have the exact date, I think it was in the 1800s, signals the shift that happened from the original native peoples being not a book culture to the settler colonial Western system of education. I had just read that it's the Prussian school model system. It goes back like 250 years for the most part. But these quotes tell a lot. A literary education as a passage between civilization and wilderness, transforming Indian hunter into the gentleman property owner. So that, as far as I consider, is like the gist of one of the gists of what's happened here with this land, and the disconnect and the disrespect for the natural world and the Mother Earth, what natives call this place Turtle Island, because the living in harmony with the natural world, that education, so to speak, that education got overridden to a large degree by convincing people that the wilderness was a dangerous place and that civilization was the safety valve. The word civilization coming from roots meaning the city, and also to put upon, paraphrasing here, to put upon, to like enforce a culture upon a people, or to enforce a way of being upon a people. So that's exactly what the colonial settlers was to force the whole educational system onto people and onto the natives to a large degree. And then the other part of that is transforming the Indian hunter into the gentleman property owner. So what's considered true in truth, the land that nobody owns, and we're here to learn from the Mother Earth, became divide and conquer into little plots of land and property owners. So all that distinguished and this and that kind of stuff is just, it's just a false, it's a false veneer on what's actually here. And haiku, another culture, Japanese culture, is one of my ways of staying in touch with the natural rhythms of the earth and the seasons, and with the land, and in that big picture, but then in the small picture, because haiku focuses on a specific moment. So it's very much just, even in the small patio garden and in the yard, without going out into the, quote, wilderness, there's so much to see and so much to learn. That's where a lot of these observations that I'll read have come from. So you know, either way, and get out into the woods and the forest, great. But if you're more, you know, enclosed in the suburban spaces, then, you know, you make do with what you have, or even indoors, you can notice plants and look out the window. So these are going to start from March and work their way up to August. And I'll read them twice. That's a haiku tradition of reading them again because they're so short. So sometimes you miss it the first time or you pick up something else the second time. Stop talking. Listen to what the March rain is saying. Stop talking. Listen to what the March rain is saying. As beautiful at night when no humans looking, cherry tree blossoming. As beautiful at night when no humans looking, cherry tree blossoming. Small town, steep hill, side street, parking spot blessed with honeysuckle. Small town, steep hill, side street, parking spot blessed with honeysuckle. After the July rain, wind knocks the rain out of the trees. After the July rain, wind knocks the rain out of the trees. In an otherwise quiet late July night, cicada. In an otherwise quiet late July night, cicada Morse code. In an otherwise quiet late July night, cicada Morse code. Midsummer, gentle rain, a raindrop bouncing off a rosebush leaf. Midsummer, gentle rain, a raindrop bouncing off a rosebush leaf. Mid-August dusk, spider hanging from the oak tree just above the quarter moon. Mid-August dusk, spider hanging from the oak tree just above the quarter moon. Now that I actually saw, I went out into the yard and looked up, standing under the oak, I saw the spider hanging down from one of the low branches of, one of the low bundles of oak leaves. He was hanging down a couple of, maybe a foot or two, and it was about 12 feet high. And then I looked up, and there was the exact, like the quarter moon, look at exact half of what's called the quarter moon. Obviously, depending on where I was standing, it would change, but I, you know, just the way I had lined it up, the spider was just above. I mean, it was just like this amazingly beautiful, perfect alignment picture, and it just, to me, that was, I just observed that, and, you know, that was the gift from nature. That was getting lit with nature. Nature helped me get lit with the literature. So I think that's, yeah, a good thing to remember, to tip the hat to the natural world, doing your writing. And technically that haiku is 19 syllables, and many an argument over the syllable counts in haiku. 575 is not a necessity. You can listen to my haiku presentation talk to find out why. And a lot of modern haiku typically is 10 to 14 syllables. That best emulates the Japanese, the sound of the Japanese haiku. But occasionally, it's just a little bit longer works. And in that case, I tried to pare it down, but it just seemed to fit. And I like the sound and the flow and the picture of it, so I let it go. So to be a stickler about the haiku, I think, denies the value of such a poem like that. So I'll read it one more time. Mid-August dusk, spider hanging from the oak tree just above the quarter moon. Now if I tried to pare that down, spider hanging from oak tree, and it starts to sound a little choppy, and if I just said quarter moon, I could take out four syllables just above the. Mid-August dusk, spider hanging from the oak tree, quarter moon, but it just loses the picture. So that's another reason why, if you try to force your haiku into 575, you're most likely either going to pad it and add extra words, or you're going to detract from the fullness of it. So in my school of haiku, give yourself the permission to occasionally do more than if it fits the purpose, and you know, if it doesn't, try to pare it down. And just to add that, I was outside the other night and I saw a bee who's like crawling around on the concrete, and I wondered if it was okay. And so I picked it up to put it like on the grass section of the yard, and I could literally feel the vibration of the buzz in my fingers. And it made me think how in writing can use the word buzz, but the word does not convey. There have to be more words to convey the literal feel, and that's such a subtle sound of the literal vibration I felt when I was holding that bee. It's like I don't know if it does that constantly, but it just seemed like bzzz. So may you have good experiences in the direct experience zone of the natural world, where nature is continually guiding us and teaching us. Thank you for listening, and be well.